The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I want to remind you that I have a brand new column in Glamour Magazine on the website, that is. And it's called What an Expert Says. It's interviews between me and other sex experts. The first one we did was on body image, where I interviewed Elle Chase. And the second one, I talked about sex and pregnancy with Jamie Waxman. So if you go to glamour.com, click on Smitten, which is their section of the website devoted to love and relationships, or you can just do a search for my name on glamour.com. You should definitely check it out, and the third one is coming soon. Hey, I have just confirmed a really fabulous event at the Pleasure Chest. It's on Wednesday, December 16th in Los Angeles. Join me and Connor Habib, sex nerd Sandra, April Flores, and Orpheus Black. We're going to do a live episode of Sex Out Loud, recorded in front of a studio audience, and that would be you. So come to the Pleasure Chest in LA, be in our audience. There's going to be refreshments, really good giveaways to get you in the holiday spirit. You're going to get sex tips, gift picks, answers to all your burning sex questions, and it's just going to be a ton of fun. It's basically going to be like a party, and I want you to come. So that's December 16th, Wednesday, 8 p.m., Pleasure Chest in Los Angeles. And I am super, super excited to announce that we have a brand new sponsor who's come on board this week, and that is Lilo. I can officially say now that Sex Out Loud is sponsored by Lilo, award-winning designers of the world's best pleasure objects. I'm really thrilled on this collaboration with Lilo because I have personally used and enjoyed Lilo toys from the beginning of, since they came out back in like 2003. They are a staple in my own toy bag, and they keep innovating. They keep making these amazing, high-end, beautiful, what they call pleasure objects. I would just call sex toys. And I'm just so thrilled that they're supporting Sex Out Loud. We're also live today. So if you've got a question, give us a call at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. You can also post questions on our Twitter feed at Sex Out Loud Radio. Our theme for the night, what we will be talking about, is lube. And it's literally everything you ever wanted to know about lube, including things you didn't even know you needed to know. It's really going to be, it sounds like the simplest thing. Hey, lube, what do you need to talk about for an hour? But man, we have a lot to talk about. And I want to encourage you to follow our Twitter feed as you listen to the show, at Sex Out Loud Radio, because there are visual aids to go with this interview that can help explain some of the more technical things. So if you're not listening live, go to our Twitter feed, Sex Out Loud Radio, and look for the December 4th post, and you'll see visual aids. So let me tell you the person who's going to be like our cruise director for this evening of lube education. Sarah Mueller has been a sex educator at the Smitten Kitten, which is a former sponsor of the show, since May of 2012. Prior to working at the Smitten Kitten, Sarah received a BA in English Literature with minors in Art History and Women, Gender, and Sexuality Studies from McAllister College. After working as a sex educator at Smitten Kitten, Sarah realized personal lubricants are a huge contributor to people's sexual satisfaction and health, but many struggle to find lubricants without adverse effects. Sarah then began an extensive research project on personal lube ingredients, regulations, and interactions with the body. Sarah has begun to give workshops and trainings through the Smitten Kitten, providing educational materials around lubricant safety at conferences across the United States. She's now expanding her research and educational offerings to topics like STIs, cancer treatment and sexual function, menopause, and social justice within gynecology. Her research has allowed her to contribute to the books Girl Sex 101, assist in the editing of Joan Price's book, The Ultimate Guide to Sex After 50, and Sarah has been interviewed as a lube expert on the Sexational blog and Vice Magazine's blog. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Sarah.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So I first heard about your presentation because you gave it at, I believe, the Sexual Freedom Summit, which is put on by Woodhull in the D.C. area, and people were lighting up my Twitter feed. They were texting me. They were emailing me. They were saying, oh, my God, you've got to go to this presentation if you have a chance. And when I was at Sex Down South in Atlanta, I skipped lunch and ran all the way there just so I can go to your presentation. And I will say that it blew my mind.
Thank you so much. That's a high praise coming from you.
We just have so much to talk about. But I want to start with some of the most basic questions because I don't want to assume that everyone in the audience knows even the basics. So let's begin just with, why is lube so important?
Right, yeah. So lube is important for a lot of reasons. The most widely known, I would suppose, are just that it reduces friction, which can make any sort of friction-inducing activity on the genitals, all sorts of different sexual activities, more comfortable for longer amounts of time. It also helps barrier methods of safer sex, like condoms or dental dams, work more effectively. They're less likely to break when folks are using a lubricant. But there are also some reasons that I think people don't think about necessarily or tend to forget about, is that for a lot of folks, lubricant makes sexual activity a possibility, or at least a pleasurable possibility. So anybody who's trying to put anything inside of their butt is going to have a better time of it if they're using lube. But also folks who are postmenopausal, who have gone through cancer treatment like chemotherapy or radiation therapy, people with vaginas who are experiencing a decrease in estrogen for any reason. For a lot of these people, without lubricant, they can't have pleasurable sex. They might not even be able to have neutral sexual activities. It's kind of like without lube, any sort of friction on the genitals could be extremely painful and potentially very dangerous as far as the quality of their mucous membranes and the skin on their genitals goes. So lube is really, really important for a pretty wide variety of reasons.
And, you know, I think We know now that it used to be marketed as kind of something that only postmenopausal women needed. And we know differently now. We really do. I mean, in my limited, you know, field research of my own creating, there are vulvas and vaginas that lubricate a lot, and there are ones that lubricate a little, and sometimes it depends on the day, or it depends on where someone is in their menstrual cycle, or it depends on how dehydrated they are. So I really feel like lube is good, and not just for penetration, for external stimulation as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. Anything that uses friction, really, lube can help with. And I think another important thing is also that a lot of folks think that if you have a body with a vagina, you produce lubrication if you're aroused. And sometimes that's just not true. So lubrication and wetness isn't necessarily an indication of how into something you are. So when you have a personal lubricant on hand, you don't even have to put that pressure on your body to respond the way you want it to, or as quickly as you want it to, because you just have that backup, which can be really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so let's get a rundown on the different types of lube that there are: water-based, silicone-based, and oil-based. Give me the basics of each category.
Yeah, okay. So water-based lube is definitely the most widely available lube. It's the easiest to find. It's generally the least expensive, and it's compatible with everything. So it's compatible with any kind of safer sex barrier method. It's compatible with every kind of sex toy. It doesn't stain your sheets. So those are all nice things. But it's also the one that's the most likely to be irritating to the most amount of people. So it has, like, the highest irritation potential. And it also soaks into the skin very quickly and evaporates. So it's the shortest lifespan of any lube when it comes to a water-based lube. And then, yeah, you've got silicone-based, which are never organic or natural. They're always like made in some lab somewhere. But silicone-based lube doesn't really soak into the skin because most of the molecules that go into a silicone-based lube are physically too large. And then it doesn't evaporate. There's actually two main ingredients in most silicone lubes. One of them evaporates and one of them doesn't. So sometimes part of the lube will evaporate, but not all of it. So it may change in consistency over time. But silicone lube lasts pretty much the longest of any type of lubricant, and it's water resistant. So if you want to play in the shower or underwater even, silicone lube is great because it stays slippery. The downsides to silicone lube are that they aren't always compatible with silicone sex toys, which can be a bummer for some folks, and that they can stain fabric. So if you spill a silicone lube while you're in bed, it can make a mess that never quite goes away. I did get a tip from someone that if you use Dawn dish soap in your wash machine right after, you can get silicone lube out, but you have to act fast. And then I would sort of consider hybrid lubricants their own category because they're a mix of silicone and water-based ingredients, and we often kind of refer to them as the best of both worlds. They're compatible with everything, but they last longer than a water-based. They don't have quite as much irritation potential as a water-based, but they aren't quite as hypoallergenic as a silicone. But they have kind of a silky feel and can be really nice. So those are an option as well. And then you have oil-based. And oil-based is probably the trickiest of the categories. Anything that is a petroleum-based oil, like Vaseline or something like that, I wouldn't ever recommend using that as a lube because those oils can hang out in the body for a long time and promote bacterial growth. So not the safest. Plant-based oils can be definitely a good option for using as a personal lubricant. I like coconut oil or lubricants that use coconut oil as the base because coconut oil has natural antimicrobial properties, so it doesn't allow for bacteria to breed in it, and it just has a longer shelf life than some other types of oils. But with a plant oil-based lube, it's really kind of see how it goes for your individual body. Some folks really like them and find them really hydrating, and some folks don't like them, maybe because of how they feel, but also maybe because they lead to BV or bacterial vaginosis in bodies with vaginas. So there is still a little bit of risk with a plant oil-based lube because it is still just hanging out inside your body longer than other types of lubricant would. And then any oil-based lube is not compatible with latex or polyisoprene barriers. So that's most condoms that go on penises. It's a pretty common thing with those.
So if you want to use safer sex barriers and oil-based lube, what are your options for things like condoms, gloves, and dental dams?
Right. Gloves, I think, are the easiest to find in non-latex or polyisoprene options. So there's a lot of nitrile gloves available. I know Black Dragon makes black ones, which a lot of people think are sexy and fun, so those are cool. The FC2 or the female condom or the receptive condom is made out of nitrile and polyurethane, so that's fine with an oil-based product. And you can find polyurethane condoms. They are getting harder to find because less people are using polyurethane. It's a little bit less elastic than other non-latex options. So I know Trojan Supras are still polyurethane, but yeah, it is a little bit harder to find those. And then there's a company called Hot Dam that makes polyurethane dental dams. And I think those are the only dental dams that you can get that aren't latex or polyisoprene. I could be wrong,
okay,
but I think.
Quick question. Can you use plastic wrap, like Saran wrap, with an oil-based lube?
That is an excellent question. I am not positive about that. I would assume that you could, but I wouldn't risk it without confirming it. But as far as I know, nobody's studying that. I'm not sure.
Okay, so we're gonna get back to that. We're gonna put a call out to find out if those two things are compatible.
Yeah, I will follow up on that for sure.
Okay, so for me as a sex educator, I feel like one of the things that your presentations did for me on lube is really went beyond kind of the basics. I feel like most sex educators talk about, for example, a lot of water-based lubes contain glycerin, and glycerin is more likely to give you irritation or an infection because that was like the main ingredient in water-based lubes for quite some time.
Yeah.
And then the other thing we talk about is compatibility with sex toy materials. And so we know, for example, that water-based lubes are compatible with all materials, silicone, plastic, glass, steel, wood, stone, like you just said, latex, polyurethane, nitrile. Now, silicone lubes are compatible with non-porous plastic, with glass, steel, wood, and stone, but then there's kind of a question mark when it comes to silicone toys. And we've got a visual for this, which I'm hoping Raymond can put up on our feed, where you actually have this handy chart that makes it really clear and really easy what is compatible with what. But in my experience, we are supposed to tell everyone that silicone lubes are not compatible with silicone sex toys. Like bonds to like, it ruins the toy. The toy can never be cleaned, and the texture of it can never come back. Is that your party line as well? Because then, you know, there are rumblings behind the scenes that it's like, well, some silicone and some, you know, there's other things being said.
Right, yeah. Our party line is silicone may damage silicone toys. So silicone lube, it's kind of a trial and error process. It's compatible, silicone lube is compatible with some solid silicone toys, but not all solid silicone toys. So I work at the Smitten Kitten, and we encourage our customers to do a spot check if they want to use a silicone lube on a silicone toy. And just put a little bit of lube on the toy, let it sit for 10, 15 minutes, and then wipe it off and do this on an area where the surface texture doesn't really matter. And then you'll see right away if the lube has bonded onto the surface of the toy and damaged the surface texture. I feel like within the last 3 years, probably, there's more silicone lubes compatible with more silicone toys without causing any damage.
Can you name some of those? Like, can you be specific?
Yeah, I mean, Pure, P-J-U-R brand, silicone lube is one that uses the least amount of ingredients, and that one I know is compatible with Tantus silicone. I've used it on Happy Valley infused silicone before and had no issues. So that's one. I know that one of my coworkers puts Uber Lube on like everything and has had really good luck with that. But then there's some toys that, like the Soul Source silicone dilators that are for sure medical grade silicone, Pure silicone lube does leave a ring. And it's interesting because there's kind of different levels of silicone effect. So sometimes there's just kind of a clear coat and a ring left where the lube was, and sometimes it looks really foggy and gnarly and like your toy got sunburn and is peeling horrifically afterwards. So it's one of those things that I've looked into as much as I can, and sadly, you know, there's no scientist getting that study funded to figure out the hows and whys and which is compatible with what.
Okay, well, we are, we're experiencing sort of technical difficulties, and I just realized, wow, I haven't heard from the engineer. When are we taking a break? Yeah, that's because I didn't get that text until just now. Okay, so, but we're working through the challenges, so we're going to take a break. But when we come back, we are going to talk, we have literally just begun. There is so much more you need to know about lube, people. And if you've got a question, you can call us, 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. We will be back with the lube expert from the Smitten Kitten when we return.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code Sex Out Loud for 25% off your order.
Psych Up Live with host Dr. Suzanne Phillips is an insider's glimpse at a life from a psychological perspective. It's a look at what matters to us. Why do we laugh? How do we cope with stress? Are men and women really that different? What is it about our relationships? How are they formed? How they work out? And why they sometimes don't? Every week is something new to engage you. Psych Up Live is heard every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll turn up your perspective on life.
Tune in each week for Monica Phillips and Powerful Conversations. This is a thought-provoking show for business people, leaders, and entrepreneurs. We'll feature today's thought leaders and industry trendsetters from across several locations and industries. Give yourself permission to be inspired and live a fulfilling life. Be sure to listen to Powerful Conversations, live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking with Sarah Miller. Everyone's been pronouncing it wrong, but I just got that memo on the break. She is the lead sex educator and the lube expert from the Smitten Kitten, a former sponsor of this show and an amazing sex toy shop in Minneapolis. And speaking of sex toys, you know, Christmas is all about togetherness. It's about giving and receiving. And nothing brings couples together, nothing allows them to give and receive at the same time, like the Tiani 24K, which is the new remote control couples intimate massager from Lilo, the world's leader in pleasure. The Tiani 24K is designed to be worn internally during sex. It vibrates powerfully, enhancing the sensations of sex for both partners for incredible shared pleasure. With a dual motor design and a unique 24-karat gold ring around its body, the Tiani 24K is a symbol of love and commitment and the perfect gift. It's as if all your Christmases have come at once. Visit Lilo.com, L-E-L-O, or any great sex toy retailer now and get the hottest Christmas gift around. Back to our discussion of lube, Sarah. So I want to jump into the meat of your presentation because your research, which is by far the most extensive research on lube that I have ever seen, focuses on two main things about lube, osmolality and pH. So let's first talk about osmolality.
Okay. Yeah. So when I started this project, I was really hoping to find a list of ingredients that people could just avoid and they'd be fine with whatever lube didn't have those ingredients. And that really it's just not how lube works. So osmolality is one of the kind of characteristics of a water-based lubricant in particular that is one of the easiest ways to determine its safety and its body friendliness. But it's not something that is printed on the package for lubricants. It's not something that some lubricant companies even know what the value is for their own product. So it is a little inaccessible, and this is one of the areas when the visual aids is going to come in handy, because it's a little tricky to explain the concept of osmolality just over the phone. But osmolality is essentially the concentration of particles, things dissolved in the water base of a lubricant. So that's important because the cells on the body's mucous membranes, which are part of the genitals, are water-soluble. So the mucus on the mucous membranes and the mucus and the membrane itself have non-keratinized cell walls. So water flows freely in and out of the cells of the mucus and the mucous membrane. And when you have a lubricant that has a significantly different osmolality than that of the body, that has effects on the cellular integrity of the cells of the mucus and of the mucous membrane.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So essentially, if you have a lubricant that has a similar osmolality to the cells of the mucous membrane, you're doing pretty good. But then there are these cases where it's not so good. Like, for example, when a lubricant has a lower osmolality, what happens?
Yeah, so when a lubricant has a lower osmolality than that of the body, it's called hypoosmotic. And what happens is that the water from the lubricant goes into the cells of the mucus or the mucous membrane because it's kind of trying to create an equilibrium of osmotic pressure on both sides of the cell membrane. So if there's a lot more water outside the cell, more water goes into the cell, which at a certain point can cause the cell wall to rupture because it becomes overhydrated.
This isn't a big issue when it comes to personal lubricants. There's not a lot of personal lubricants that are really low in osmolality. It becomes more of an issue when someone is trying to conceive because sperm are more sensitive to a low osmolality than, say, the cells of mucus or a mucous membrane. So you want to avoid a lubricant with an osmolality lower than, say, 90, if you are trying to keep your sperm intact because they are very susceptible to becoming so hydrated they explode.
Oh, poor little sperm. Okay, so then let's talk about hyperosmotic lubricants, lubricants that have a higher osmolality than the cells of the mucous membrane. What happens
then? So that's really common. That is going to be most lubricants, most water-based lubricants that are available. And what happens then is that the lube is really concentrated. There's a lot of things dissolved in it. So in order to maintain that osmotic pressure inside the cell of the mucus or the mucous membrane and outside, the cell pushes its water out to try to dilute that lubricant. So that, once the lubricant reaches a significantly high osmolality, that can cause a cell to become so dehydrated that it dies, which would dehydrate, essentially, the mucus on a mucous membrane. And then if a lubricant is still very hyperosmotic, it will kill the cells on the outermost layer of skin on a mucous membrane, and that's called the epithelial layer of skin, and that's the body's primary physical defense against pathogens. So if you're talking about a butt in the rectum, once that epithelial layer is gone, any sort of pathogen hanging out is has a direct link to the bloodstream.
We're talking about STIs, we're talking about other infectious diseases.
Right, exactly. And in the vaginal mucous membranes, there's actually four different structures of mucous membrane inside the vulvovaginal area. And most of them are a little bit more durable, I guess, there's more layers to them and they're more elastic than that of the butt. But it's something that once I started reading research where they were observing this in lab studies, scientists were alarmed because sheets of epithelial cells are just dying and sloughing off all at once, leaving the body really, really vulnerable. And this isn't something that if you do, your genitals are ruined forever. Your body heals itself fairly quickly, like 24 to 72 hours. But it is an issue. It can cause irritation. It can increase the likelihood of transmitting or acquiring an STI. And especially for folks who are using lube a lot because they have sensitive mucous membranes on their genitals, it's actually exacerbating that problem. And another factor with a hyperosmotic lubricant in this epithelial cell death is that this triggers an autoimmune and inflammatory response in the body that's something that's often referred to as a cascade effect. So it not only increases the amount of target cells at the site of this irritation or this epithelial cell death for retroviruses like HIV or herpes, but it also can trigger this cascade that is pretty much the same thing that happens in folks who have chronic pain conditions. It's this release of chemicals that are meant to promote healing, but can cause irritation of the nerves and can kind of spiral out of control. So I'm not saying that lube would cause chronic pain or any sort of neurological disorder, but it could definitely exacerbate those sensations for folks who already have those things going on.
Okay. So that was a lot of information. I want to try to simplify it for folks just so that they understand, though, the importance of this. And that is, what you are saying is that a lot of lube that we put in and on our genitals can actually dehydrate, damage, and even kill the skin cells of the mucous membrane.
Correct. So I'll try to, give some, real-life context to this. So the measure of osmolality is called milliosmoles per kilogram, and the mucus of the rectum and the vagina are typically between 280 and 290 milliosmoles per kilogram. There are a lot of lubricants that fall in the 2 to 3,000 milliosmoles per kilogram range, so that is very significantly high. As a significantly hyperosmotic lubricant. There's also lubricants that are much higher than that. So, for example, KY warming jelly, which is one of the most hyperosmotic lubricants ever, as far as I know, has an osmolality of 10,300 milliosmoles per kilogram.
So let's contrast that 10,000 versus vaginal mucus 280.
Right. So there's pretty much no way for the majority of the cells that come in contact with that lubricant to stay structurally intact because of how that osmotic pressure works on cellular structure. The World Health Organization actually released a statement, a whole advisory note, actually, about lubricant safety. That is something that somehow no one really noticed, but is really important. And they put out a kind of hopeful goal that personal lubricants would ideally be in a range of around 380 milliosmoles per kilogram, if not lower. But in the meantime, they were hoping that folks could lower the osmolalities of the lubricants they make to around 1,200 milliosmoles per kilogram. And so far, there hasn't been a lot of, waves made about this, but it is something that really does affect safety and just folks' sexual well-being and health.
Okay, so let's get real specific now and tell me, what are the lubes currently on the market that fall within this 280 to 300, or if we're being generous, up to 1,200 as recommended by the World Health Organization?
Yes.
What lubes are there?
Well, one thing to always keep in mind, too, is that oil-based lube and silicone-based lube don't have osmolality values. They're not water-based products, so this isn't something that you have to worry about if you're using those kinds of lube. So that's a nice thing. But there's a few different water-based lubes that are close to isoosmotic, which would be kind of the same osmolality of that of the body, or a little bit lower. And those would be pretty much all the Sliquid water-based lubes, Good Clean Love, and Slippery Stuff is one that's actually very low in osmolality, so that wouldn't be one you'd want to use if you're trying to conceive, but has an osmolality of around 12 or 13. But there are a lot of lubes out there that I personally recommend to people all the time, some of my favorite products that I don't know their osmolality levels because they're not big enough brands for publicly funded or even privately funded studies to be testing. So I'm actually working with the University of Minnesota. Hopefully sooner than later we'll be able to do some of our own osmolality testing on some of those smaller kinds of lubricant. But the World Health Organization study that I mentioned earlier has one of the most complete lists of osmolalities and pH levels for some of the most popular personal lubricants globally, and the vast majority of them are hyperosmotic. So there's not a lot of widely available options that have that ideal osmolality range.
Okay, well, we're going to put up hopefully one of the slides Raymond will put up, and you'll see this handy chart that Sarah has made, and it's actually frightening beyond belief because basically all the lubes we know of are way over the 1,200 mark as set by the World Health Organization. So chew on that, you know, chew on those numbers and that image while we take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about pH, people. So stay with us. More with Sarah Miller when we return.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Have you found the beauty inside of you? Join Bonnie Bonadeo each week for Beauty Inside and Out. We'll explain how beauty plays a part in everybody's lives. Our guests are makeup artists, hairdressers, and doctors. But we'll also feature holistic and wellness specialists and spiritual advisors. You can find that beauty inside and express it to its fullest on the outside. Tune in to Beauty Inside and Out every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I hope you've been taking notes or following our Twitter feed at Sex Out Loud Radio and learning all these new things about lube. So we're talking to Sarah Miller, who has done some of the best research in the world at this point on lubricants. She's a sex educator and the lube expert at the Smitten Kitten. And the next element that you tackled, this is a real light bulb for me when I was in your class, Sarah, because first of all, you told me something I didn't know, which is that the pH of the vagina and the pH of the rectum are not necessarily the same. And a question that comes up in my classes all the time is that people say, Tristan, what lube do you use? And I say, well, I use a different lube for vaginal penetration than I do for anal penetration. And they're like, right, but isn't that a pain in the butt? Like, don't you want just one lube that's going to work for everything? And I was like, well, I've tried all these lubes, and I'm telling you, I can't find a lube that works for both. And now, Sarah gives me the answer, different pHs. Okay, so tell me why pH is important, what the pH of the vagina is, what the pH of the rectum is, and then where these lubes fall on the pH scale.
Right. So pH is important for a lot of different reasons, but the pH, specifically when you're talking about vaginas, pH plays a really important role in the immune function of the vulvovaginal microbiome. So the pH affects the lactobacilli, the levels of yeast, and pH is affected by the menstrual cycle and by hormones. So there's kind of this cycle of pH throughout the menstrual cycle, which changes after menopause or other reasons that folks might not be experiencing estrogen inside of the body anymore. So generally, the pH of a vagina that is premenopausal is going to be between 3.5 and 5.5, which is fairly acidic. And that's important because it helps to kill bacteria. It also helps to neutralize sperm. So within the menstrual cycle, the pH of the vagina is most basic and highest, closest to ovulation, because that maximizes the chance that your body could fertilize an egg. But after menopause, it's closer to 6 to 7 unless somebody goes on estrogen therapy. So when your pH is higher, there's a greater likelihood of yeast overgrowth or potentially pathogen contraction or bacterial vaginosis. So there's a lot of things going on with pH inside of a vaginal area. But generally, lubricants made to go in a vagina are going to have a pH closer to around 4, maybe 4 to 5, because that's going to match the environment that it's in. But because the pH of that environment fluctuates naturally throughout the lifespan, but also throughout the months, different lubes might feel different at different times, because if you're putting a lubricant inside of the body on a mucous membrane that has a significantly lower pH than what it's going into, that can feel stingy because it's acidic. So think like if you get orange juice, or you're peeling an orange and you get orange juice in like a cut on your finger, that stings. Part of the reason it stings is because it's very acidic. So there's products out there now that are supposed to reacidify a vagina that have very low pH levels, like 2.8 or something like that, and that's going to feel stinging on most vaginas, not necessarily only vaginas that maybe are imbalanced in some way. But it also may be that a lube that's worked for you for a long time doesn't work for you after a certain point, as estrogen levels fluctuate or are reduced down to very, very little, because now that lube feels stingy because the pH has naturally become a little bit higher. The pH of the butt inside the rectum is closer to what would be called neutral, like what tap water is, between 6 and 7. So a lot of the lubricants that are made more for vaginal use are going to feel stingy inside of a butt because of that pH difference. Especially if there's any kind of lesions, any thinning of that mucous membrane, tears from friction, anything like that can increase the likelihood of that sort of negative stingy sensation.
And so if we go the other way and you have a really basic pH, like it's much higher than, say, you know, 6.8 or something, does mm-hmm. that feel stingy? What does that feel like?
Right. That's not as much of an issue because there's not a lot of those out there. And honestly, I don't know. I don't know what it would feel like. But I know that it wouldn't be something you'd want to use very regularly. So for bodies with vaginas, often if they're trying to conceive, they'll get a lubricant that's designed for that. And those lubricants all have more basic pH levels, typically around a little bit over 7. Because when you are talking about pH, different products with different pHs can buffer. So if you put a lubricant with a pH of 7.4 on a mucous membrane that has a pH of about 4.5, one isn't going to change the other to be exactly the same. They're kind of going to meet in the middle. And that's called buffering. And so those higher pH lubes kind of buffer the vaginal pH to be closer to the pH of semen, which is around 6 or 6.5. And so that's what's happening with things like Pre-Seed or the new Astroglide TTC. And that's okay because, again, the body kind of recovers from these things pretty quickly. But say you're using a lubricant that is not marketed in a specific way, but has a pH close to like 6.5 or maybe a little bit higher. If you have a vagina and you're using that lube every single day, that can throw off the whole balance of the pH inside the vulvovaginal microbiome over time and increase the likelihood of things like yeast overgrowth.
Wow. Okay, and you'll see on, we're going to put up this graphic, you'll see that there are plenty of lubes that fall into that category that would essentially be very similar in pH for the butt, but not for the vagina.
Right. And with everything that I've been saying with pH and with osmolality, I always try to note, too, if you're using a lube and it works for you, you're not having any negative reactions to it, keep using that lube if you like it, you know? But it's also, when I talk about this, for a lot of folks, it's kind of this huge weight off their shoulders because they've been blaming their body or blaming their partner's body for things that are going wrong, health concerns and issues happening in their genitals. And so it's really nice to hear that, oh, it's my lube that's doing this, it's not my body, and I can just find a better lube and I'll be okay. And often that's exactly what happens. But also I know folks who use lubes that I wouldn't recommend and have no problems with them at all, and I'm not going to tell them that that's something that they should stop doing.
Okay, but what are some other ingredients in lube that people who are concerned about these issues, people who have sensitive genitals, should watch out for?
Yeah. The first two that I always bring up when people ask me this question are glycerin and propylene glycol, because they're extremely common, and they're the easiest way to tell if a lube is hyperosmotic or not. So if you're looking at the ingredients list on a water-based lubricant and propylene glycol or glycerin are in the first 3 to 4 ingredients, chances are that lube is hyperosmotic. If a lubricant has, I think, over 8% propylene glycol or over 9% glycerin approximately, then they are definitely hyperosmotic. And for a lot of water-based lubes that use these ingredients, glycerin or propylene glycol or both are making up 30 to 40% of the product. So those are ingredients that by themselves are potential irritants for folks, but probably the minority of folks. And glycerin is one that, yeah, a lot of folks have linked to yeast overgrowth. And there's no concrete proof that glycerin causes yeast overgrowth, because folks have actually tried to do that study, and it hasn't worked out the way they thought it would. But I think that the effects of glycerin are more tied to its osmolality than the fact that it's not actually a sugar, so it's not actually feeding yeast inside the body. And then propylene glycol on its own is kind of a terrifying thing, because it's in everything. It's in skincare products, it's in cosmetics, shampoo, it's in processed food too. And the more you're exposed to propylene glycol, the more likely you are to develop an allergic type reaction to it, because it's a sensitizing agent. So it may be fine for a long time and then all of a sudden not fine at all anymore. And that happens to a lot of people actually. They'll come in and be like, hey, I've been using this lube for years and all of a sudden it's really irritating and I don't know what's going on. And it's because your body can develop sensitivities to different kind of ingredients just because you're exposed to it over a long amount of time.
That's like a latex, you know, these latex allergies that develop for people who work, for example, in healthcare, is mm-hmm. the more they're exposed to latex, the more sensitive to it they become.
Yeah. Yeah, so that one's rough too, because if you do develop a sensitivity to it, it's really difficult to find not just lube, but shampoo and body wash and lotion and other things that don't have propylene glycol, because it's kind of everywhere.
Now, people often tell me that silicone lube gives them a vaginal infection, but it seems to me that what I understand about silicone lube, that's not actually possible. So what do you think is going on if someone feels real irritation from silicone lube?
That's a really great question. This is something that was recently brought to my attention. I'd never heard of anyone having negative effects or infection from a silicone lube until very recently. And so now I'm really curious about it, and I don't have a definitive answer. Because, yeah, everything I know about silicone lube is that it's primarily hypoallergenic. It's not soaking into the skin. One thing that could be happening is because it's not water soluble, if it's hanging out inside of the body for a really long time, it doesn't promote bacterial growth, but it could kind of just be like trapping what's already inside the body in place, which could be potentially irritating for folks. And especially if it's sitting inside of the body for quite a long time. So maybe if somebody doesn't naturally lubricate a lot, or that kind of cyclical flow of mucus isn't happening as would normally happen, that could be a reason. But I honestly, I don't have a definitive answer. And And the studies that I've read, they don't really look into silicone lube. They're really only looking into water-based lubes, because that's what most people have been using for the longest amount of time. But I'm hoping that in the near future, people start evaluating the safety of silicone lubes a little bit more rigorously. But the only reason I know that a person would have a negative reaction to a silicone lube is if somehow they have had exposure to silicone in the bloodstream, maybe because of like implant rupturing, and then their body can develop antibodies to the silicone lube. So any exposure to silicone lube would kind of cause the body to have an attack response to it.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. As you can see, we could talk about this for days. But thank you so much, Sarah, for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is super fun for me.
Sarah Miller is a sex educator at the Smitten Kitten. Find out more at the Smitten Kitten's two websites, smittenkittenonline.com and badvibes.org. Follow Sarah on Facebook, sarahmiller.mn, on Twitter, @Sarah_E_Miller, and on Instagram, @Sarah E. Miller, and Miller spells M-U-E-L-L-E-R. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible, executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show. Until then, catch me on Facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter @SexOutLoudRadio, and take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.